I was born and bred in Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm. How long did you live there?
24 years.
Did all your family members live in Brooklyn?
My entire family lived in Brooklyn.
Wow. And where did most of your friends live?
In Brooklyn. Okay. Most of my friends lived in Brooklyn. We all went to the same elementary school and the same high school. And most of us the same college.
Wow. Now, which elementary and high school did you attend?
I attended Maya Street Elementary School, mm-hmm. Maya Street. And I attended Second Ward High School. And I graduated from Johnson C. Smith University. And I went on to the University of Connecticut. I attended the University of Connecticut.
Could you tell me, if you can remember, any about the African-American businesses in Brooklyn?
Yes, we used I used to be the cashier at the Savoy Theater. We had a Savoy Theater on McDowell Street. And it was about a block from my home. And I used to be the cashier there. And when I go to school, I would go to Smith when I was going to college. When we went to college, I was going to Johnson C. Smith University. And when I get out of school and at 3 o'clock every day, I would leave there and go directly to the movie to relieve the cashier that was there, and I would work until 8 o'clock at night.
Are there any places that you can remember that you love to go and eat at in Brooklyn? Any favorite restaurants?
Well, we used to have an Oscar's Cafe. It was on McDowell Street too. You used to love to go there and get hot dogs. Mm-hmm. We were never able to sit down in there. But, I mean, people could sit down in there, but we were too young to sit in there. And when I became going to college and high school, it closed. But when I was a kid, we used to go in there. My daddy would take us in there to get us hot dogs, and we'd enjoy hot dogs there. And it was a place on 2nd Street. It was called... Well, I used to go to the movies on 2nd Street. They had a movie theater. It was called the Lincoln Theater on 2nd Street. And down below it was a cafe. And when we'd leave the movies, we'd stop in there and get ice cream cones. And he used to have a lot of little goodies in there for the kids. You had to pay for them, of course. But we used to stop in there and get a lot of little goodies. And he sold... food. You could go in there and get a dinner. And I've eaten dinner in there because I used to sell afros when I was a kid. And fries every year, Mr. Warner would take us there and let us eat dinner. Give us dinner. And we'd have fried chicken, and boy, they could really cook some chicken. Mm-hmm. It was delicious. Chicken and potato salad, and we had sliced tomatoes, and they'd give us some Coca-Colas, and we just thought we had everything when we'd go in there. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people a lot of doctors used to have offices on 2nd Street, and you'd see a lot of doctors in there, dentists. I used to see him when I'd go in there. And I'd see my family doctor in there when I'd go sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, can you tell me, I know you told me that you attended Meyer Street Elementary School and Second Ward.
Yes.
Can you tell me what it was like to attend either of those schools, or both of them?
I love both of them, especially Second Ward. The teachers were, they were just like your parents. They were always giving you something, whatever you need, a pair of shoes, a dress, or whatever, they would buy it for you. And you go to school, some kids go, and their parents didn't get a chance to comb their hair. The teacher would comb their hair, take them out to the bathroom and comb their hair and wash them up, whatever they needed. They were just like our parents.
Mm-hmm.
they were, I really love going to Second Ward. It's just another home. We all felt like it was another home for us. They were always buying us something, bringing us candy, and, you know, they wanted you to learn. So whatever they could do to improve your learning or to help you with anything, they would do everything they could to help you. And I will never forget going to Second Ward. It was really like another home.
What kind of clubs or organizations did you have at school, and were you a member of any of them?
Well, we used to have YPEAM. We used to have Girl Scouts. That was at church. Girl Scouts and YPEAMs, and we used to go to a center called the Bethlehem Center, and they used to teach us how to crochet and knit and play a lot of games, and we didn't have anything like clubs, you know, like, just Girl Scouts, that, you know, that was at church, more or less at church. Mm-hmm. But, and YPEAMs, that was a club, I'd say, but not many other clubs. You didn't have things like clubs. And,
now, what about sports teams at Second Ward?
Well, I didn't ever play any sports. I didn't play sports. We had PE teachers. We had a PE teacher, and she taught us how to play a lot of games. You know, we played basketball and baseball and things like that. We had a big yard at school that we could play in and play anything. They use it for the football field and the basketball, and play basketball inside. We had racks inside of an auditorium in school that we could play basketball, and we played in it, played all types of games, and, you know, that children played, you know.
Okay. Now, do you remember any rivalries within Brooklyn?
Well, used to be when Second Ward and West Charlotte, we used to have a football game that was called the Queen City Classic. And it would be between two, it was only two black high schools, West Charlotte and Second Ward. And every year we'd have that Queen City Classic to see who would win that game. And the girls would go with the boys from West Charlotte, and the boys would go with the girls from Second Ward. And we never did come over this way because most of us wouldn't come over this way. You know, I couldn't come over this way because at that time our parents didn't, we had to give an account of everywhere we went. Mm-hmm. Even when I was going to college, I had to be home a certain time. I didn't live on campus. I lived in Brooklyn, so I could catch the bus. I caught the bus and went to school in the morning and came back home. So I never did. I was always around, you know.
Now, when you were in high school at Second Ward, were there any other neighborhoods that you used to go to?
And we couldn't go to them. We couldn't go to any of them neighborhoods. I never went to no other neighborhood. Everything we did was right over in Brooklyn. We couldn't go over to another neighborhood. Until I became, old enough to go myself, you know, but not when we were kids, because I went to church right in Brooklyn, too. Mm-hmm. I went to church everywhere.
Now, which church did you go to?
St. Paul Baptist Church.
Mm-hmm.
And everything was done right there in Brooklyn. I had no need to go any other place, because all my family lived right in Brooklyn. Of course, when I was going to high school, we used to go catch the bus and would go to the Fairview Homes. That was across town. I had some cousins that lived over there, And on Sunday, we could go over there. That was right over this way. We used to catch the bus and come over and play with them on Sunday, and then we'd catch the bus back home. But where I was born, I stayed there until I got married. When I got married, I moved here. I never lived but two places in my life, mm-hmm. and that's at home and right here.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you have any memories of Blue Heaven?
Yes. My husband lived over there. My husband lived in Blue Heaven, and we used to have a laundry. It was called the Zurich's Laundry and Cleaners. And when we take our clothes to the laundry or to the dry cleaners, we had to walk down there. So it wasn't that far from where I live. It was, it was a nice little walk, but everywhere we went, we walked. We never caught the bus other than if we were going to school, because when we would go shopping, we'd walk to go shopping. Even living in Brooklyn, I'd walk downtown where it is now and shop and walk back.
Mm-hmm. Now, how would you define Brooklyn's boundaries? Do you think there was a clear distinction between, say, Brooklyn and First Ward?
Yeah, people knew the difference. They knew when they were in Brooklyn, they knew when they were in First Ward. Yeah. Yeah, it was a clear distinction.
When I say the words urban renewal, what does that mean to you?
My family moving out from over in Brooklyn, that really hurt me to my heart when we had to move. Well, I was already living here. I was living right here at that time when they moved. My mother was still there. And it really hurt us, and from what they gave us for our house, it wasn't nothing. We couldn't buy another house. We had to pay down on the house, in order to move in. We could have rented another one, but that was our home place, and they just took it from us. And we went to court concerning it, and Judge said, we can't give you what the house means to you. I said, I'm not trying to get what it means to me. I'm trying to get a place for my mom and daddy to move so that they have a decent place to live. I said, we left a decent place and we want to go to a decent place because my mama had renovated that house. She had it renovated. We didn't have lights and, nothing like that. And when she renovated it, we had electric lights. They put electric lights in the house, and they put a furnace in there. And everything, windows, and the roof, everything. We had to get out of there. We had to move in a house that wasn't as nice as the one we were in. But we had no choice. We didn't have enough money to buy, get something else mm-hmm. at that time. But anyway, she had that one renovated too.
Now,
after she bought it.
I'm sorry. When you said that you went to court for your mother's home,
mm-hmm.
did a lot of people try to do that?
I don't really know. I think quite a few of them did, but I'm not really sure. I know we did.
Mm-hmm.
And he said to me, he asked me, say, how much you think that house is worth? I said, it's worth $1 million. And it was. I know physically it wasn't. I knew that. But I'm talking about mentally. That house meant everything to us. We had three bedrooms. We had a living room, a dining room, a kitchen. And a great big front yard and a great big backyard, and it meant everything to us.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one thing that really hurt me about, that really hurt me to my heart, for them to take our house like that.
Mm-hmm.
My mom had a great big picture window, one as big as that window there,
mm-hmm.
put on the front, and used to be so pretty, had a great big light lamp that sat on the table in front of the picture one that everybody would come by there to sit. We just loved that house. Mm-hmm. And they really did not give us enough money to buy us another home. Okay. And that's what bothered me.
Now, with you saying that you went to court, I know that was one way of kind of speaking out about mm-hmm. what was happening.
Mm-hmm.
But do you feel that the residents of Brooklyn in general had a voice in what was happening?
It didn't seem like they had a voice. They really didn't have a voice. They spoke out, but it didn't do anything. It didn't help any to speak out because... he said he would give us, I've really forgotten how much money he gave us. I really don't remember. Because when we moved in this house was, I moved in here brand new. Ain't nobody never stayed in this house but me. And my husband got this house on the GI Bill, I believe was $14,000 at that time. And for him to have given us at least $12,000 or $14,000, we could have bought us another house at that time, see? But they didn't do it. They just gave us like $8,000 or $9,000 or something that we just had to put some down on it. We had to keep some to connect everything, the water, lights, and gas, everything to be turned on, but they didn't. They just took our houses. They really did.
You know, you said residents, they tried to speak out, but from what you just said, it really didn't.
No, it didn't help to me. Yeah.
What ways did people try to speak out?
Well, we had meetings, and different meetings and things. They had meetings up the Second Ward discussing it in different places. They had a lot of meetings discussing the way that the houses were taken from us, but it still didn't mean anything. They didn't do anything. They didn't do anything better about it.
Now, were these meetings, were they organized by city council leaders, or was it by the residents?
By the residents. And because mostly residents, because a lot of people didn't have homes in Brooklyn. A whole lot of them didn't, but a whole lot of them did, too. About half and half, I would say. And the people that own their homes, those are the ones that were concerned, you see. Well, the others were concerned, too, because it could have happened to them. But anyway, they went along with us, you know. They had a whole lot of different kinds of meetings in order to get more money for the places that we had.
Now, what was the relationship like between, would you say, the mayor's office and the citizens of Brooklyn?
I just don't believe it was any connection. Not any much. Very little, if any.
I know you just mentioned a little bit that other people were... siding with the residents of Brooklyn, even if they didn't live in the Brooklyn community. Were there any maybe newspaper articles or things on the news about other citizens and how they felt about what was happening to the Brooklyn community?
It's been so long. I really can't remember. Mm-hmm. I can't remember whether it was a lot of talk about it. Everybody in Brooklyn were very upset. People were very upset about it, and I'm sure there were articles in there were a lot of articles in the paper about it. Yeah, in the paper and on the radio, because we didn't have television back. I don't think we had no. Yes, we did. We had TV back then, so it was always on the news and. Somebody was always speaking out. You see people standing on the street speaking out about it, how they were taking homes from people. But whatever they want to do, that's what they did.
What lessons do you think politicians should take from the experience of Brooklyn?
I, if you don't experience this yourself, you don't really know how people really, really feel. So I don't think nobody that was in our area that could speak about it any more than the people that it affected, because they were the ones that were being affected by it, and I just don't think it has gotten to them now, you know. In later years it got to them, but back then they just did what they wanted to do. It's just like when I was going to school, whatever you said whatever was said in the book, that's what we had to go by. We couldn't challenge the book and all like that, like you all can do. And that's the way it was back then. Whatever they said downtown, that was it. But it's not like that now. I'm so glad that we're able to challenge different things now. I'm very happy that we can do that now. And I know it's being done now. Yeah. Because we have a lot of organizations that they go all out the way to do what needs to be done. Yes. But back then, we just didn't have no say-so.
Now, is there anything that you can think of since we've been talking now and you've been sharing your stories and your memories with me, is there anything, one thing in particular, that you remember that sticks out in your mind about Brooklyn?
Let's see.
About the people.
One thing, everybody, we never had keys to our houses. Everybody left their doors open. And a skeleton key would fit everybody's door in Charlotte, in Brooklyn. We could go, we had a big front porch, and you could put a piece of carpet, not carpet, but a quilt or something out on the front porch. You could sleep out there all night long with nobody bother you, you know, and everybody knew everybody, and we went to each other's homes, and if you were at my house when we got ready to eat, my mama set a place on the table for you to eat, and I went to your house, your mom would do the same thing, and that's what I really loved about Brooklyn, where everybody knew everybody, and everybody was somebody, and God was for all. Right there in Brooklyn. We loved each other. You get sick, everybody was right there to help you do whatever they could. And that's what I loved about Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. I don't even know who, I know that house, nobody's in that house next door, but I don't know who lives there. Mm-hmm. I know who lives next door to me right here. I know who lives across the street, and I don't know the lady that lives right across over there, but the lady next door, she and I used to teach together. But if we were in Brooklyn, I'd know everybody all the way up and down the street, because we played together and we shared everything. My daddy have a garden, whatever was in the garden, we'd share it with our neighbors, and our neighbors would share with us. And I just loved Brooklyn. I really did.
What made you decide to do this interview with me?
Well, I went to college, and I felt that you needed somebody to help you. And I love helping people.
Well, I appreciate it.
And I wanted to help you because I've done surveys when I was going to school. We had to do things out in the field also, and I knew it would help you, and I didn't feel that that's why I asked you, where did you get my name from? When you said you got it from Vermeil, I felt like it was legitimate, because I wouldn't want nobody to come in here and, you know, try to do anything to harm us, you know. So that's why I let you come.
And my last question, it regards my oral history class that I'm in. And in this class, we're interested about the interaction between the interviewer and the interviewee.
Mm-hmm.
Now, could you tell me if my gender or my race or being associated with UNC Charlotte, would that affect the answers you would be willing to give me?
As I said before, everybody's somebody and God is for all. I love you.
Well, thank you very much.
I enjoyed talking with you.
Thank you. Well, thank you so much for your time and your memories and your stories and sharing them with me.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
You're welcome.